Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor Newsom, Speaker Perez, President Pro Tempore Steinberg, Senate Republican Leaders Dutton, Assembly Republican Leader Conway, constitutional officers, members of the legislature, members of the Supreme Court, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens. First of all, I want to thank all of you in this chamber for the cordiality and goodwill that you've extended to my wife and me during these opening days of what will be an extraordinarily difficult and wrenching legislative session. I also have to add one more note. Actually, this is my 8th State of the State speech. I know that because alone among Californians and other people, I have actually read these State of the State speeches. And I've actually found where people mix up inaugurations and State of the State speeches. So in preparation for this, I went back and I read them. Tedious, sometimes sobering, and a challenge to do better. So with that prospect in mind, I continue. California faces a crisis that is real and unprecedented. Each of us will have to struggle with our conscience and our constituencies as we hammer out a sensible plan to put our state on a sound fiscal footing, honestly balance our budget, and position California to regain its historic momentum. Although our state's economy has started to recover, we'll not create the jobs we need unless we put our own financial house in order. It's absolutely essential that we do our work boldly and without delay. My intention is to make California again a leader in job creation, renewable energy, and state-of-the-art efficiency, innovation of all kinds, and a solid primary and secondary education system. Our universities are world-renowned, and I intend to see that they continue to enjoy the respect of students and scholars throughout the world. We also have to restructure our criminal justice system, carefully realign state and local government functions, and streamline state government itself. All this can happen if we find the courage and summon the will to tackle our budget deficit head-on and deal with it honestly and without any purpose of evasion. This is not the time for politics as usual. The stakes are too high. Our overall financial system, which came close to absolute breakdown, has not fully stabilized. Where we go from here, either more austerity or more stimulus, is hotly contested. Even the cause of the mortgage meltdown remains in dispute. Now, the voters are clearly telling us that our state and our nation are going in the wrong direction. Yet our two main political parties, both in Washington and California, are as far apart as I've ever seen them. Still, I know that politics is at the heart of democracy. It's the essence of our structure of freedom and the way in which we as a people make our collective decisions. We owe it to ourselves and to our forebears and to our children to rise to this occasion, do what is right, and regain the public trust. Kicking the can down the road by not owning an honest budget is simply out of the question. If you're a Democrat who doesn't want to make budget reductions in programs you fought for and deeply believe in, I understand that. If you're a Republican who's taken a stand against taxes, I understand where you're coming from. But this time, things are different. In fact, the people are telling us in their own way, they sense something is profoundly wrong. They see that their leaders are divided when they should be decisive and acting with clear purpose. We're still a very rich society. In 2 years alone, Californians will have added more than $100 billion to their personal income. Yet our state's credit rating is the lowest of 50 states. Unemployment is higher than the national average, and some journalists are calling California a failed state. The times call out for vision and for discipline. Discipline so that we live within the revenue which the state collects each year, and vision so that we rise above mere party. act as Californians first, and put our trust in the people. Under our form of government, it would be unconscionable to tell the electors of this state that they have no right to decide whether it's better to extend current tax statutes another 5 years or chop another $12 billion out of schools, public safety, our university, and our system of caring for the most vulnerable. Let me read you Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. All political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. When democratic ideals and calls for the right to vote are stirring the imagination of young people in Egypt and Tunisia and other parts of the world, we in California can't say now is the time to block a vote of the people. In the ordinary course of things, matters of state concern are properly handled in Sacramento. But when the elected officials find themselves bogged down by deep differences which divide them, the only way forward is to go back to the people and seek their guidance. It's time for a legislative check-in with the people of California. And at this moment, and I want to see a few Republicans clapping on that, if you could. We'll build up as we get along here. Or if you want to block the people's right to vote, stand up and say, block that punt. At this moment of extreme difficulty, it behooves us to turn to the people and get a clear mandate on how we should proceed, either to extend the taxes, as I firmly believe, or to cut deeply into the programs from which, under federal law, we can still extract the sums required. Unfortunately, these would probably include elementary, middle, and high schools, the University of California, the California State University system, prisons and local public safety funding, and vital health programs. My plan to rebuild California requires a vote of the people. And frankly, I believe it would be irresponsible for us to exclude the people from this process. They have a right to vote on this plan. The state belongs to all of us, not just those in this chamber. Given the unique nature of the crisis and the serious impact our decisions will have on millions of Californians, whether it's more cuts, extend taxes, the voters deserve to be heard. Do I like the choices we face? No. I don't like them. But after serious study of the options left by a $25 billion deficit, the budget I proposed is the best that I can devise. If any of you, I mean that, if any of you have any other suggestions that you think are better, please share them with us. After all, we're in this together. In recent days, a lot has been made of the proposed elimination of redevelopment agencies. Mayors from cities, both large and small, have come to the Capitol and press their case that redevelopment is different from childcare, university funding, or grants to the aged, the disabled, and the blind. They base their case on the claim that redevelopment funds leverage other funds and create jobs. I certainly understand this because I saw redevelopment firsthand as a mayor of Oakland. But I also understand that redevelopment funds come directly from local property taxes that would otherwise pay for schools and core city and county services such as police and fire protection and care for the most vulnerable people in our society. So it's a matter of hard choices. And I come down on the side of those who believe that core functions of government must be funded first. But be clear, my plan protects current redevelopment projects and supports all bonded indebtedness of those redevelopment agencies. From the time I first proposed what I thought was a balanced budget approach to our deficit, both cuts and temporary extension of current taxes, dozens of groups affected by one or another of the proposed cuts have said we should cut somewhere else instead. Still others say we should not extend the current taxes but let them go away. So far, however, these same people have failed to offer even one alternative solution. And in all honesty, we have a right to get the alternative. This is a chamber of debate. It's a chamber of democracy. And let the different ideas come forth, but let them be ideas that measure up to the challenge before us. As I've said before, I've come here not to embrace delay or denial, but to get the job done. If you have solutions that are truly viable, by all means, present them. We need everyone's best thinking. And you can applaud on that. Republicans, you can applaud. Come on. Best thinking. Wherever I look, I see difficult choices, and so do all of you. But I also see a bright future up ahead and a California economy that's on the mend. When we get our budget in balance, California will be in a strong position to take advantage of its many assets and its strategic location on the Pacific Rim. As the countries of Asia and south of our border continue to thrive and expand their trade, our state will play a leading role, as it always has, and will reap unimagined benefits. We have the inventors, the dreamers, the entrepreneurs, the venture capitalists, and a vast array of physical, intellectual, and political assets. We've been called the great exception because for generations, Californians have defied the odds and the conventional wisdom and prospered in totally unexpected ways. People keep coming here because of the dream that is still California. And once here, their determination and boundless energy feeds that dream and makes it grow. When I first came to Sacramento, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak had not yet invented their personal computer. There was no wind-generated electricity, and we didn't have the nation's most advanced building and appliance efficiency standards, as we later adopted. Of course, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, and Twitter did not exist, not even in someone's imagination. California has grown from less than $200 billion when I first came to this rostrum to now over $2 trillion expected this year. California has been on the move, a model, a miracle, and some kind of gift. Yes, I'll work with you on the issues from water and realignment to health care and prisons to agriculture, schools, environment, and transportation. We must also face the long-term challenge of ensuring that our public pensions are fair to both taxpayers and workers alike. Finally, at a time when more... So that's ambiguous. So either side can read into it whatever you want. In a sense that we want to welcome all possibilities and don't close off too many. Finally, at a time when more than 2 million Californians are out of work, we must search out and strip away any accumulated burdens or unreasonable regulations that stand in the way of investment and job creation. And I did say unreasonable. But let's not forget that job number one, make no mistake about it, is fixing our state budget and getting our spending in line with our revenue. Once we do that, the rest is going to be easy, at least easier, because we have learned to work together and earn back the respect and trust of the people we serve. I look forward to working with all of you, Republicans and Democrats, together to build this state of ours into what we know it can become again. Thank you.